Oh, 14 of Rock Stories. I am here with Whiskey Dick.
What?
Oh, Whiskey and the Martyr.
Whiskey and the Martyr, bro.
Oh, okay. So what's the story behind that name?
Well, that's all Carl, really. I mean, 7 years ago, he texted me, like, we should start a band. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And then he said, we got to call it Whiskey and the Martyr. And then I was just sold after that. So the name kind of has, has multiple meanings to it. I guess it's more whatever you personally feel.
Yeah. Mostly it sounds badass.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's trying to not make ourselves sound too.
I wouldn't have joined the band if it was called anything else.
Nice.
To be honest with you.
Nice.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Let's see. So you guys have a new album on the way?
Yes, yep. We do. It's called Future Graves. It has 6 songs on it. It's produced by our mutual friend, Wes Renaud of Audible Nexus. And this guy is just the man. He's just an absolute George Martin-esque genius in recording. And it's
we're
the best
Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Nice.
Makes you work for it, that's for sure. But yeah, you know, we're really happy with how it's coming out.
Fuck you, you're terrible.
It's almost.
Try it again. Yeah. 3,000 times.
Oh, God, I gotta hit record on this bullshit again.
I would have loved to have heard what you're saying when I was in there.
And you guys have a new member, right?
We have 2 new members.
Okay.
During the recording, the process of getting everything ready, we ended up, one of the members quit, and then we got Tony pretty much the next day. And then we had our singer ended up leaving the band as well. So while we were in the midst of trying to get all this stuff together, trying to record all the songs, we lost 2 members.
And
Tony's filled in nicely. And
I always fill in nicely.
Our new vocalist, Paul, here. And this is his second show with us tonight, so.
Nice.
It took us about 5-6 months to find him, but it's finally here.
Diamond in the rough, this guy.
Our baby Paul.
An old man.
So, for the new album, is there a tour to promote it?
We're working on getting a CD release show going around, like, more our area, around Willimantic area. We have 2 more shows coming up in the next, like, 3 months. But we're really concentrated right now on just getting the best product out there possible and getting the copies and being able to get new merch for it and do that whole cycle, start the cycle fresh.
Nice. So when can we expect the album?
I would say, like, late fall at this point. Yeah, by the time announce it and really, really get going with it. And,
okay.
But yeah, it's at this point it's 97% done. But we just got to get the promotion.
96.
Do you think I can get some sneak peeks for this audio? Or?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Wes has got them, and we'll send you over some clips. We're gonna play about 80% of what we play tonight will be new songs.
Cool.
So that'll be good too.
Very cool. Let's see. Is this the first album you guys have put out?
This is our second album we put out. 2-3 years ago, we recorded an album all ourselves. We didn't really know what we were doing. We tracked everything, and we had different members at the time. So this will be our second, this second album is going to be our first real attempt at it. This is probably the best thing I've ever recorded, you know, best sounding.
I've heard it. It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice. I've actually gone for walks listening to it. So,
nice.
Without the vocals, though. I haven't heard it with the vocals yet.
Yeah.
Well, they're awesome.
I actually wanted to try out for you guys on keyboard, but I don't never really had the time to join.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, what is the band's favorite song on the new album, and why?
Oh wow. I think that's a question individually.
What do we all like?
So we'll start with Tony and we'll move across then.
Everybody gets stumped on this one. It's like the easiest one. But.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
I think everyone has a different favorite song though. Like, or else.
That's cool.
Our writing style just lends each one of our songs to somebody liking it more.
Right.
I think there might be Justin's song is probably my favorite because it's dynamic in it.
Yeah.
It has that hard punch and then you got the melodies. So that's a great song, Pariah. Mm-hmm. So between those two, for me, I'd have to say.
Okay.
Favorites off the album.
And on Justin's song, when we were recording with Wes, we had a... I don't remember what the deal was, but Wes ended up hearing certain things, and we ended up changing everything, well, the chorus around a whole lot.
Right.
So we have this, like... And Wes was saying, he's like, the way, like, the chords go over each other and how they all blend. I don't know harmonically how they do it, but it's just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Justin's song and the title track were the ones that changed the most while we were recording them. You know, because we had a very different idea when we came in, and they both ended up being way better than we ever expected.
Yeah, he's good for shit like that. Yeah. He's a good producer.
He really brings the best out
of you.
Yeah,
that's what you want, a producer. Yeah. Somebody that's really Future Graves. And it wasn't until, I really liked the song, but it wasn't until Paul put his touch on it, his lyrics on it. They were pretty goddamn intense. And it's a beautiful song. It's by far my favorite.
Nice. Can't wait to hear it with vocals.
For me, it's different for me because I wasn't involved with the song writing of instrument parts. So I had this almost finished product that was a blank slate. So I'm going by hearing them before I put vocals on it. Mariah blew me away. I was an outsider. I wasn't part of the band yet, and I got to hear these songs. I was expecting, you know, like, oh man, I hear your stuff. And I was expecting it to be like, oh, all right. And I heard Pariah, and I was like, wow, this is a good song. It stands out from the rest.
Okay.
I liked them all, but that one really was
cool.
Yeah, mine's gonna be Pariah as well, because it was our last EP was a little scattered in my mind. You know, it's more of a demo. And Pariah was the first song we wrote together as a group that was really like an awesome cross-section of like what we want to do as a band. Thanks. And the crowd loves it. It was named by a friend in another band when we were first, the first time we played it, we're like, we don't have a name for this. What's it going to be called? And he threw a name out. And it's just, it feels like more of a group collective with Pariah than it does with any of the other songs.
Okay.
Not that they don't have a group vibe to them, but Pariah was definitely the first one that sparked this album.
Yep.
And, I mean, again, like, Pariah, it's just so much of a collaborative song. So many people are doing so many different things all at the same time, yeah. And it's just awesome to see so much talent just poured into one song that's like 4 or 5 minutes long, and it's super cool.
Yeah, but, that one, I mean, definitely shows all of our individual flavor in it.
Yeah.
Nice. That took the longest to write, too. I think that went through, like, 20 different drafts.
And that's one of, the, like, the first songs we wrote for this, and it's super cool to see, like, that still holds up, even though we wrote songs that are super, super great for this album. After that, the song is still just on point, just every step of the way, and I'm still, like, finding places where I can put cool shit in.
It really is. Lots of stuff,
yeah,
layered up.
There's a lot of space in the song, which is a very musically oriented song,
yeah,
for me, and that's why I like it. But
cool. Yeah, we tend to kind of be minimalist when approaching songwriting and riff making and all this kind of stuff. But yeah. I think Pariah, we just said fuck all that.
Yeah,
that came out of it. So I'm gonna say that's gonna be the single of the album.
Yeah,
based on what everybody said.
So. Yeah,
very cool. All right, so the premise of this show is called Rock Stories. So I'm trying to get stories of bands. Do you guys have any kind of cool or funny stories, something that happened while recording or playing a show?
Let's talk about our first show, Carl. Our first show as Whiskey and the Martyr. Yeah.
Well, we...
Or it's just the two of you.
Whiskey and the Martyr. Yeah. Context, it was just Carl and
Simon
I.
and Garfunkel.
Yeah. So our whole first album was about 80% written by just Adam and myself when I came up with the name. And, you know, we were just going to write songs. So we wrote these songs. They were much longer than they were before we recorded them because it was all instrumental. And we were not ready. And we played in bands in the past, but we were not ready. We were just ready to have too much fun with it, and we're not serious enough about practicing.
And the other thing, too, we were supposed to play first, but, you know, bands came in and wanted slots, so we kept on trading up, and then we were playing last, but we didn't stop our drinking at all.
Yeah.
So.
Why? Why would you ever do that?
It's the worst part of playing last at a bar.
Yeah, so instead of, like, drinking for an hour, playing, and then drinking for 8 hours, we drank for 9 hours, and then played. And it all went right out the window.
At one point,
that could
I
go
just
50-50. And, yeah.
Right, right.
It's so, always a gamble when that's.
It's a massive failure, or did you actually?
Well, we got the slow clap, you know, the painful slow clap. Like that was good. Like
that was
good
for
trying. Good effort. You know,
even at, like but, near the end of the the last bit of our.
About to sing?
No.
Oh, I thought you guys were about to sing, so I was just like watching.
Oh, no. It was like about the Boys to Men at Acapulco style. Yeah, no.
Hey, you guys look like a boy band real quick.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I wish I was that pretty.
Edit boy.
Edit boy.
Nope. That stays.
So it wasn't a complete flop, but it really put everything into context for us that we needed to work harder and get more members and take it a little more seriously. Like, we still, like, we fucking party hard, but... We've practiced enough now where it don't matter. We can drink for 9 hours now and play a 45-minute set, and there's really no problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, total rock star status at this point.
Plus, Adam stopped doing heroin, so we're all set now.
In the eyeballs.
And I started.
Just so.
Can't get away from this. Nice. Gotta help your friends.
You know, I missed my tourniquet when I was packing up to come. You gotta let me borrow that.
Yeah, I got extras.
Seatbelt.
We'll be good.
Seatbelt.
So, how about marketing? You guys have any plans to market album or the band or anything?
Well, this feels like a pretty good, like, this is a pretty exciting time for us. Like you said, this is probably the best thing we've ever recorded, best sounding thing we've ever recorded. So the fact that we feel confident of putting it out onto CD Baby and having it on iTunes and Amazon and utilizing the internet to try to get people to listen to it is really exciting. So that's what we're gonna aim for. Shows are fun, shows are great, but we want to see what the internet can do.
Okay. Anything specific you're going to use on the internet? Or
CD Baby, email lists.
Pandora's gotten a lot easier for
Spotify.
Speak up. Can you speak up? It's kind of hard to hear.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Pandora. It's good.
This is our segment, ladies and gentlemen. The goal is to dip your toe in as much as possible so that anywhere that somebody could possibly find you, you'll be available there. I mean, it might not market a hit or anything like that, but, you know, we don't play this kind of music because we're looking for a hit. Like, we play it because we honestly love to play this kind of music. Mm-hmm. So,
I was just asked that question today. Like, why do you do what you do? Why do you play the music that you play? It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it's, why else would I play this music? I'm not looking to get famous. Like, it's fucking fun.
Yeah. I had a conversation this week, too. Everyone's like, oh, you're playing a show. I'm like, what kind of music are you? Like, it's heavy. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah. No, don't get it unless they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get the itch for it, you can't get rid of it.
Like, luckily, the scene around here and our friends in general are very supportive. So, I mean, like, I'd say 80% of the people here tonight are friends. So, it's going to be an awesome show. We're psyched for it. So.
And Carl, Tony, and I went to the same high school. So, most of the time, we get big shows together. It's like a little mini high school reunion. So.
That's cool.
The good kind, not the awkward kind.
The next question was going to be about distributing, but you already answered that. So, let's see. So who's the boss? Who cracks the whip?
I'd say Carl.
Yeah,
I'd say Carl.
Yeah, I have all the gear at my house. I'm the only one. Well, Paul has a house too, but everyone else is pretty much in apartments and not as settled. So everything's at my house, and I book the shows for the most part and kind of keep everyone honest about whether they can make it or not and keep the flow going mostly. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a dick, but...
No, but you definitely crack the whip. You're like, well, everybody's got to be to practice one day a week at least.
You know, the best and worst thing about being in a band is that it's five different people with five different personalities.
Five different lives.
Yeah. And everybody has their own thing going. Man. So somebody needs to sort of, from the business standpoint, Adam definitely takes that because I'm more about playing shows and, you know, having an image about the band. Like, this is like, we enjoy to play shows and this is what our music is like and this is how it translates live. Adam is he reaches more for like, oh, how are we gonna market this, or what can we dabble in over here or over there? So I'd say it's a split collective between Adam and I, for the most part. You know, we each do our jobs, and these guys do their jobs great too, so, you know.
Cool. Yeah, I'm still at the point where I don't wanna let you guys down, you know? Like, it's still new enough that it's like...
And you have...
I'm still...
Dude.
Getting the comfort zone, you know?
I'm so happy with what you brought to the band. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
Nice. So, and I already forgot my question.
The beauty of editing.
What famous bands would you like to go on tour with?
Oh, jeez. This is going to be an individual one.
Yeah.
We're all over the place.
All right.
Go ahead, Tony.
Lay it on me.
Oh, man. I'd love to tour with Motley Crue.
Oh, God. That would be awesome. Survive that shit, man.
No, exactly. That would be a challenge in my life.
Yep.
I mean, I've partied, but I've never Motley Crue partied.
Nope.
So that in itself would be a hurdle to jump. But...
You think they still party like that? Or are they probably 60 now?
Come on. Wouldn't you?
If they don't party like that, they'll die. Like, it's
they need to do it now. Yeah. It's like
as soon as they stop drinking, it's like formaldehyde. Like, whiskey is like their formaldehyde.
Yeah. If they stop drinking, they would just like lose all function of all their body function.
Just wriggle up.
Surprised Tommy Lee is still alive. That guy's been through hell.
Like a dry dust. Where'd they go?
He six has died twice.
He's not going to die again. He's already had twice. That's good.
Third time.
Adam.
Yep. I'm going to go with along the same lines as Tony, but. You guys are going to make fun of me, but Kiss. That would be cool. I just like them.
Wow.
They just rock so hard. You guys don't
They rock and roll all night and party every day.
Exactly. You think we were a fucking classic rock band, like, listen to this.
All right, well, then here come a total opposite direction. And, like, H2O, Judge, any of those old school hardcore bands. If I got to open for Shelter one day, it'd be amazing. I'd have to tour just to open. It'd be incredible.
I'd like to tour with the Deftones.
I knew he was going to say
I've seen him a bunch of times. A lot of our sound, my drumming style, a lot comes from that. So, you know,
okay. I
would love
that.
To do that, yeah.
Yes, that would be cool.
I don't know. I like a lot of artsy bands, but, like, what I think we would fit well in a tour with would be
Kiss.
Chevelle, not Kiss, Chevelle or Deftones, really. Like, that's where a lot of our, like, I get inspiration from.
But what do you want?
What band do you want?
I want to tour between that. The Baird and me, but we're not that talented.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Okay.
Props to them. They're amazing.
So, any future goals that you guys have?
Put this album out and see what happens. That's pretty much leaving it open-ended.
That's a good one. That's the goal right now.
Yeah, we sort of just, we put out an album, we cycle on it for like a year, mm-hmm. Probably a little bit longer with this one because it's higher quality and it's more marketable than our first one. So, you know, we just play shows and just branching out, playing shows in other states and stuff, and trying to get a bigger fan base than we have and just, you know, get the whole thing moving.
Okay. So where do you see yourselves in 5 or 10 years?
Who knows?
I just want to be able to drink beer at half cost at places like Sully's.
Like, where do I want to be in 5 years?
This is a cheap night for me. Like, I got to play the drummer.
Can we do this again? September 5th, 2020?
Yes.
I want a bigger beard.
Please?
Next time,
yep.
Mike.
All right.
Promise?
What?
I need a bigger beard out of you next time, 5 years from now.
Not a problem.
Right. Man beard.
I mean, I would hate to see a woman beard.
Yeah, that'd be kind of gross. All right, that's all I got for you guys.
Cool.
Is there anything else you want to throw out?
Future Graves coming out on late fall here, and we'll announce it on Facebook. And check us out at whiskeyandthemartyr.com. And you can book us through there. And we have pictures, and we'll have audio, hopefully, from tonight. And
I'm hoping there's maybe a picture of me on there soon.
Yeah, we'll get a picture of Paul. So.
Wait, you don't have a picture?
No.
All the promotional stuff for this.
We're not quite sure about him yet, so we'll see.
It's all right.
We're really bad at Photoshop, too, so putting heads on different bodies.
Oh, I didn't know you could
put Paul's head on.
That's weird real quick.
We should actually do that, though, 100%. Also, Audible Nexus with Wes, who's recording the album, and he's a beast, and he's awesome, and everybody should support
him. Guy's a magician.
Everything he does.
Cool. So.
All right. And thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Take in revenge on me.
Thanks for listening to Rock Stories. After you're done, please listen to Dead Tribe Paranormal, where we discuss anything and everything to do with ghosts and ghost hunting. We bring you in-depth interviews with integral members of the paranormal community and share stories of everyday people's encounters with the other side. Also look forward to new shows like Audibly Anonymous, a show where you, the listener, can anonymously share your deepest secrets. Please visit our website at echopodmedia.com and sign up for our email list on the homepage. There's some new kids on the block, the unsigned hip-hop kids. Listen to me and Mateo spin some exclusive new hip-hop tracks and interview the people keeping the scene alive. There's hours of ear candy to feast on, and me and Mateo cracking jokes in between each song. That's Unsigned Hip-Hop under the podcast tab.